This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 249 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
This episode is part of our Drums of Autumn read-along. To find out more and how to participate, visit outlanderpod.com/DOA.
You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets. Brooklinen.com is the best, most comfortable sheets with no big markup. Brooklinen sheets will upgrade your nightly routine and help you feel more well-rested every day.
Founded in April 2014 by husband and wife team Vicky and Rich Fullup, the philosophy behind Brooklinen is the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials with no crazy prices. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 20,000 five-star reviews. Their sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. You'll find versatile colors and patterns, and you can mix and match to complement any decor. Make no mistake, this is luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today.
And when they say versatile colors and patterns, and when they say we'll go with any decor, then we'll go with the decor you already have. That's what I love about the sheets. The sheets that I got, and I know Ginger that you got white sheets, but I got a sort of a charcoal stripe patterned sheet that goes with, because I have a lot of charcoal. I have a deep seated love for charcoal. Like if I almost everything I'm purchasing now has charcoal on it, but the color charcoal and the rest of my bedding and my curtains and other things in my room are charcoal. So these charcoal striped sheets went really well with everything. So they really helped to tie my bedroom together.
And as Summer outed me, I did get all white. And the reason I got all white was because I could. In the bedroom, the furniture is white and I wanted to keep a clean look. And because I had so much white and there was white in my futon cover and all of that, as Summer said, if I got everything white, I could literally mix it and match it and use just the pillowcases, use just the duvet cover, all those things. So it really, truly can go with your pre-existing decor.
And they're super soft.
Oh my gosh, they're creamy. They're buttery. You want to rub all up against them. And we frequently do. Not together.
Dirty. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Outlander at Brooklinen.com.
Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Outlander at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Outlander.
Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
So as I said at the top, this is part of our read-along. We're back, we promise. But when I said we're back, what are we back from, Summer? What is this whole thing? I don't even understand. What happened?
I spent the latter part of it in a haze of cold, like a Scottish head cold.
I was about to say it was not cold.
But it was not cold. No.
No, it's so sunny. So what are we talking about?
Pot Abroad 2018.
Crazy.
Both of our trips, well, the trips that we've made together, I should say. The trips you made by yourself, I can't speak to. And the trip that I made by myself, you can't speak to. But I would say
exactly
that both of the trips that we've made together have had exceptional weather.
Yeah, I think we had a little more chill and wind, but we also went to a few different locations back in 2015. So it obviously was not an identical trip, but we did go to a lot of, you know, a good number of similar ones. But yeah, it was, we can't complain. Cannot complain. Gracious.
What was funny to me is when we were on the tour in the first few days, some of our voyagers, we called them our Pot Abroad-y voyagers, asked me, you know, oh, well, you know, have you been to all these places before? And I was like, you know, I was here in 2015 and a lot of these sites that we're going to, they hadn't filmed at yet. So I haven't been to a good number of these. And that's the great thing about, I think, as our Pod Abroad trip, as they continue to evolve, is that as the seasons keep filming, we'll have new places to go every time. So it's never going to be quite the same trip.
Speaking of seasons, yes, what Summer said is correct. But speaking of seasons, things seem to happen when we go away or when I go overseas or specifically in Scotland. But holy heck. Okay, so this is basically a little bit of a recap. We don't, not too much detail. If you listen to our 3-episode, like 8-hour recap of our 2015 trip, this is not that, we promise, because we do have to get the read-along done. But we wanted to chat a little bit about our trip and kind of, you know, bring you guys into it, a little bit behind the scenes maybe. But there's also some housekeeping and some announcements. What the heck, Summer?
Oh.
What two amazing things did we learn while we were over there?
You know, all these things hit when we are on the wrong time schedule to be like interacting with our listeners in the United States. You know, where I wouldn't say a bulk of them. We have listeners everywhere, but I think we're mostly interactive. We get most of our interaction
during US time zones. Yeah.
And so for us to be 9 hours ahead and getting this information,
eight.
It felt like 9 and sometimes like 12.
Girl, it felt like 100 million sometimes.
I know. But we got renewed for seasons 5 and 6. We were the, like, what? When we were on Sky, right?
I think all this stuff happened when we were on Sky.
There's a lot of things that did not happen when we were on Sky.
Like, no,
but what happens on Pod Abroad stays on Pod Abroad, kind of, but not really.
Now, Summer says we were renewed. Now, of course, we mean the show Outlander that we all love. But kind of funny, is that no, the Outlander podcast did not get renewed. However, that means that we'll be doing this little thing. It means we're getting through at least book 6.
Oh, we're going to get through all the books for the read-along, but it means that we get to have episode discussions.
Exactly, but we can't promise. I'll put it this way. As long as there's a show on the air, we will have a certain schedule. If the show, let's say, God forbid, ends after season 6, I'm very happy. We're very happy to continue the read-along, but no guarantee that it's weekly. No guarantee that it's bi-weekly. You know what I'm saying? It'll be more like we will do it, definitely do it, but it's not... There's not that time crunch to have to get through between seasons. And that's a great segue, Summer, for the other piece of news we received. What was that?
Well, we got a premiere month. We don't have a date yet, but we have a premiere month. So happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
So what a November date. We don't know if that's November 1st or November 30th. So we don't know. But what a November date means is that since we had no clue when, you know, except... We were thinking sometime in the fall that something would premiere. Summer and I thought, okay, so worst case scenario, they premiere in September again. We have to have our read-along done by then. So we have. If you guys have probably noticed, we've been hammering through the read-along and then took the month of May mostly off, or I guess totally off. Mostly to pre-trip, during trip, post-trip, and then we came home sick. So that was actually a blessing there that we didn't have to rush to get a show up. But having pretty much, it may not be exactly, having 8 more weeks basically as a gift to go through the read-along means that we can slow our roll a little bit. And still, you know, we still have everything. We're not going to not include comments from you guys. Those are coming in. And so, yeah, it's kind of a little gift, even though I know it was never on purpose. So it made me as a podcaster and as a producer and as a prepper, and I'm hoping for Summer as well, as at least for the prepping, you know, it gives us a little room to breathe. But we digress. So we were on Isle of Skye when we found out this wonderful news. And so what does Skye have to do with anything? Well, we flew over. We met some friends and we started. So the first 4 or 5 days or so we spent on the Isle of Skye. Neither Summer or I had ever been there. So that was quite an experience. We had an Airbnb. It was a beautiful little cottage. And there was a little, you know, we did some walks and saw some things and did some sleeping. So what did you think about Skye, Sam? What was your favorite part?
It was so breathtakingly beautiful. And it was like, Mandy was, bless her, bravest person I know, just has no problem getting behind the wheel of a car and driving on the wrong side of the road and does so with gusto. But she drove us to all these places. And like, it reached the point where I got really tired of saying, oh my God, this is so beautiful. So I just started going, ugh, how do people live here? This is disgusting. How could you bring me here, Mandy? This is terrible. But it just,
I'm so insulted.
Like, seriously, it was just like vista after vista and oh, random waterfall. Like there's places that are literally just on the side of the road where there's a turnoff because everyone, they knew that everyone was going to turn off on the side of the road to go take a picture of this waterfall on the other side of the road, but it doesn't have a name and there's not a sign and it's not like, and you're like, oh, what was the name of that waterfall? And she's like, the waterfall off the highway. It's like, there's no name for that. Or we'd be driving down the highway and on our way from Glasgow to Skye, and I'd be like, ooh, what is that mountain range called? And she's like, dunno, it's just a mountain range. I don't think it has a name. And, you know, a lot of them do have names. Like we drove through like Glencoe. That one is very, you know, that's a recognizable one that you've heard of. But then there's a lot of just, and I'm sure there are names. I'm sure there are. There, if you talk to a local, they probably know the name of all the little places, but not all the beautiful things are places you've heard of or that have names that are recognizable by people other than locals. So, but it's all in the same caliber as the places you recognize.
Yeah, I don't honestly know what else to share about Skye because it was the whole intention of going there was to be somewhere we hadn't been before and spend some time with friends and just be, you know, no real schedule other than, you know, try and get up by 10 or so in the morning. So we didn't.
You were able to sleep until 10? Oh, that was the first week. I was like, I was up at 5 o'clock every day.
No, that's true. When you go over, it's the jet lag over there is rough. Coming back is always, it's like, it's a gift for me because I'm like, I can, yeah, it's annoying to get up at 3 or 4, but I'm wired until maybe 4 in the afternoon, but going east is always much easier. Typically gaining time is easier. Sorry. Yeah. Gaining time, which is coming back, is easier than losing time for me. So, but yeah, our intent on Skye was to basically not have the hustle and bustle. The tour was great. We're going to talk about that. And there was nothing wrong with it, but it was necessarily quite scheduled because you have people arriving, you have events to attend to, you have things to see, you have to check into hotels at certain times, and you know, you have breakfasts from this time to that time. So you have to be much more aware of your time because, you know, you have to make the bus so you can make the thing or you miss the thing. And so, yeah, there's a lot more, not a negative, but it was a lot more awareness. I wouldn't say worry, but a lot more awareness of having to keep time. So we thought it would be nice to arrive and then kind of, you know, gently slide into that kind of thing. And I don't know, and there was nothing wrong with that. I don't know that we would do that again. Summer, what do you think about doing that relaxation or that just being whatever before or after? Would you want to try it maybe after next time?
It's after.
Yeah, sure. I agree.
Just because the ending of the tour and then getting up really early the next day to get on a plane was rough. So I would rather
And we were sick.
Yeah.
So that made it even worse. But yeah, well, sickness makes everything harder. But yeah, it was just stupid. we'll get to that. So the first few days, maybe most of the first week, we were on Skye before coming back to Glasgow, getting ready to meet our voyagers. So yeah, our guests all arrived in Glasgow. It was very interesting since Summer and I had only done, of course, trips on very small, nothing organized like this at all. And trips on very small scales. So like us and a friend or us and a few friends. Yeah, we had a nice little kind of a champagne welcome kickoff. I don't say meeting, but like a little mixer, just a pretty short little one to be able to hand out goodie bags and meet everybody who was there and just kind of break the ice for the next morning.
You know, the good thing about traveling with a Blue Badge tour guide is they know lots of things about travel and staying in hotels and talking and just the value of if you don't ask or all they can say is no. For instance, we showed up at the Glasgow Central Hotel. They have a champagne bar on the third floor. Well, there it's their second floor,
E-level.
Their E-level. Because it was like there's a few floors and then it's like E and then it was like 1, 2, 3. So I never understand European levels. But they have a champagne bar. And it would have never occurred to me to go to the front desk and say, hey, we have a tour coming in from America. Maybe you want to slide us some champagne vouchers. But Susan, who is a, this isn't her first rodeo, you know, so she'd already done all of this before we'd even shown up at the hotel. She was like, oh, I went to the concierge and I told him we had these people. And I said, hey, why don't you slide up some champagne vouchers? And they did. I would never have thought to do that. But it ended up being really nice because we last minute requested, they had a little meeting room if we could book the room for like a little bit of time the following night on the right before the night before the tour started, so that we could all kind of gather and have a glass of champagne and kind of talk and get to know, and we passed out goodie bags. So, I mean, it actually ended up being a really lovely way to begin the tour.
And so that was the unplanned part. So, and that was one of the things, I think one of my biggest takeaways is, not that I didn't think it would happen, but I was so happy. Before you've done something, when you've never done something and you're doing something for the first time, obviously you know that you're going to learn. I hope you know you're going to learn. And so I expected to learn, but I think predominantly to learn what was planned, right? What worked well and maybe where we could improve. That's what I was expecting. And we did. We learned all of that. What I didn't know was things, basically, you don't know what you don't know. What we learned was not just of the things on our itinerary that were planned and booked for like a year. Quite frankly, pretty much everything was amazing, but we definitely found room for improvement, for planning different things and things to add, right? So I was so stuck on the itinerary, like, I'm curious to see how this comes out. What I didn't think, and I don't know about Summer can answer for herself, but what I didn't cross my mind to look for ways or things like requesting to book a room to have a little welcome icebreaking session or whatever. It never entered my brain because that wasn't planned. It wasn't on the itinerary. We didn't have any event like that planned. And so what, not only was it amazing, I thought it was amazing and the guests seemed to love it. So for us, that's going to go into our itinerary next time. So if you're thinking about Pod Abroad, there's still time to get on our interest list. Send us an email to hello@outlanderpod.com and we'll add you. And we hope to have all the details complete, or at least the itinerary set with the dates, the price, all of that, all the main things done by the end of June, and to be able to announce it. But we will be announcing it first to our interest list. So before we go public with it, that's, you know, and just so you know, I just counted tonight, we have almost 100 people. So you might want to get on the interest list, because with that many people, we're not doing two tours. We're going to keep it to one, and we're not going to expand the number of people. So just think about it. Anyway, so one of the things that I thought was amazing was this thing that I had never considered, like, you know, because, oh, the tour starts on Saturday. I never thought to have like a welcome mixer, right? And it kind of blew my mind. And Susan thought of all of this. And if she hadn't, it never would have entered my thought process to do this. Again, not that we don't want to welcome people, but because people were coming from all over the country and, you know, all over the continent. So they all had different arrival times. We didn't know, you know, that something like that would work. But it was really nice. We think we may repeat it. We don't know. We're a little bit far away. It's too soon to decide.
We're not going to say that. I don't think we're going to do the same gift every year. But it was a nice way to start. And, you know, we'll see what we come up with next year. But this is what we did this year.
Yeah. So we decided something. We were trying to maybe involve our logo or not. We decided keep it simple, keep it classy, keep it clean, literally clean. And what's something that's very common in the UK? It's tea towels. So we had our own tea towels printed up, and thankfully we planned to keep one for ourselves. So Summer and I got one. We didn't get goodie bags. There were no extra goodie bags, but we each got a tea towel, and all it said was #PodAbroad2018 with like a little kind of curly Q underneath it. It was very, and I believe I shared a picture of that on our Instagram. But yeah, so that's what it was. That was the gift from us. And we had some very kind contributors to the goodie bags. And let me just say, we were very happy with what we thought the goodie bags were going to be. We were gobsmacked by what the goodie bags ended up being.
Oh, it was. I mean, I, it yeah. was,
Ridiculous. I was almost astounded. I was astounded. It was nice. So we get the goodie bags, handed them out. And yeah, and so that was the night before. And then the next morning, we started our tour. And for the next, I guess, 8 days or so, it was breakfast and then, you know, meeting on the bus and then driving for, you know, a little bit of different time each day. Each day was different, but yeah, it went from Glasgow and then Pitlochry and then to Inverness and then to Edinburgh. And those were the bases. And it was a few nights at each, except for Pitlochry. Pitlochry was one night. But yeah, from wherever we were staying, we would drive out, you know, during the day to go look at whatever the sites were, whatever was on the itinerary.
Have you heard about this company making flats from recycled plastic water bottles? And they're insanely comfortable and stylish. I ordered these Rothy shoes and I went to the website and they have, first of all, there are three main styles of shoes. There's a ballet flat, a pointed flat, and then there is a loafer. And each of them comes with a slightly different pattern. Like, I mean, you can find your standard black in all of them, but each different size seems to have different patterns on them. But these are the cutest shoes. I thought when I saw them, these couldn't possibly be as comfortable as everyone said they were. And they were made from plastic water bottles. But these are the squishiest, softest, most comfortable shoes I've worn in a very long time.
Summer talked a little bit about this, but I am so enamored with their range. Not just the styles, yes, but mostly the colors and the way you can design it. It's the selection you can make. The ones I got were, now I am not someone who would normally like wear camo anything. That's not my MO. That's not my style. But I saw them and they're so super cute. I actually got some slip-ons that had like this grayish, ashy, gray-green, mossy color of camo. And they are the cutest things ever.
And they go with everything. I mean, I can't even see your feet when you're wearing them.
Put them on and I can't see my feet.
You can't even see your feet when you're wearing them. Rothy's is the everyday flat for life on the go. It's the stylish, classic, comfortable, and comes in three fashionable styles. Like I said, the flat, the point, and the loafer.
And as I described with the camo, color and pattern selection is amazing. And they're always updating their lineup. They launch new colors every few weeks and sell out constantly.
For instance, there was a different pair of camo that had this really cool neon orange stripe on the back. And I was like, ooh, I want to get those. And they were sold out. So like, hit it while it's hot, y'all.
I love my Rothy's and I know you will too. Right now, Rothy's has an amazing deal for our listeners. Use code OUTLANDER to get free shipping, no minimum.
That's free shipping and free returns and exchanges on your Rothy's shoes. And trust me, you're not going to return them. But go to Rothy's.com, that's Rothy's.com, and enter OUTLANDER to get your cute shoes and free shipping.
It's a no-brainer. Shoes that are comfortable, stylish, and sustainable, and free shipping. Go get yourself a pair today. Rothy's.com, promo code OUTLANDER. Get this deal while it lasts.
Should we give a shout out to Dave?
Yes. And we'll have to make sure he listens to
this.
Oh
my God.
We had two really great bus drivers, coach drivers, do not get misunderstand. But the first one we had was for like 6 days, like for the most of the trip. Oh my God. He was funny. He was a typical, in my experience, not atypical of a Scotsman from in or around the Glasgow area, or at least someone who had spent a lot of time there. His speech, obviously, he was Scottish, but he was down to earth, friendly, cracked jokes. I mean, very, but still professional.
No, but he knew what kind of tour he was on after the first day.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, I mean, he was just amazing. He was just amazing. Because, you know, some drivers, if you guys have been on any kind of organized tour, or even just like a day tour, like, or a sightseeing visit, drivers have a job to do, right? The job is to get you safely to a certain destination. And he did. But drivers are not required to be necessarily, they're required to be professional and get the job done. He went the extra mile, okay? Now this may be very common, but he provided water for the entire bus. Granted, it was, you know, you just come in, it was an honor system. Because it got, girl, ladies, gentlemen, whoever is listening, dear listener, have we said, we're probably going to say it a few times, have we said how warm it was? It was almost too warm. For someone like me, it was almost too warm. I did not get to wear my coat except for on the bus. Yeah, right. On the boat across Loch Ness to get to Urquhart Castle. And that was because it was freaking cold or chilly and windy on the water, as you would expect. What the heck? And so I got a coat I couldn't wear. I had basically matching gloves, neck warmer, and a hat. I did not get to use any of those items. I'm not bitter. I'm just like, really? It's Scotland. Seriously? And the two times, or I guess the one day at the Highland Folk Museum that I put my neck warmer on, because it was a little chilly. After walking up that hill, I'm like, I can't. It's too warm. My coat comes off. Everything comes. Well, not everything. No, it was not that kind of tour. But
no, actually, it was that type of tour, because I believe that the hashtag of most of the tour was, or the game that we played in the bus every day, was TAPSAF.
Oh, gosh. OK, fair enough.
Where it was the first person to see somebody with a shirt off had to scream TAPSAF.
And we learned that from Driver Dave. So so we had a great driver who was like really kind of part of the tour. He was awesome. And of course, Scotland. Well, Scotland was there too, the country. Susan, our guide. And we actually, Summer and I finally got to meet Julia. This woman we've been emailing since for now just over a year. So since early spring or late winter, I don't know, like March or earlier of 2017. So Dave did a great job, and he like was part of us. Susan did a great job. I mean, went over and above, ridiculously great job. I mean, amazing. If you are planning a tour, or you just want something for you and your family, or just yourself, she not only will help you create an itinerary given your budget, your time, and the things you want to see, the concentration of what you want to do, but She can also be hired to like to actually, you know, be a guide and all that for small groups. It doesn't have to be big tours. And she's not one to miss. She's not one to miss. She's very professional, very knowledgeable. And she, talk about bespoke tour. Our tour was already freaking bespoke. It became more bespoke than we even imagined, because Susan, again, knowing what she knows and then getting the vibe of our group and then seeing what our itinerary had and didn't have last minute, right? Totally came up with the idea for a little mixer. She helped us plan a whiskey distillery tour, which we will have in our next tour. We didn't this time, which of course is kind of a no-brainer, but you live, you learn. What else did we have? There was another thing she did. It was a stop at, I thought it was another stop.
The cows.
That's it. So she, again, she's been around, and by that I mean professionally doing tours. She's been around. She knows like names, and not just like the history, but she knows names at all of these facilities and all of these tourist locations. She even knows the name and contact information of a cattle farmer, a guy who has both. He had, I don't know if they're jerseys. I do not know my way around cows, but he had non-Highland coos and he had Highland coos. And so she asked the group, but she read them correctly, but she asked them to make sure. Would anyone like to see some Highland coos like up close and personal? And the bus was like, yeah. So she contacted, duh. So she contacted a farmer or so I should say a cattle farmer?
No, she didn't contact him. It's just up the road and up. She just will turn up there. She's like, she knew the guy. She's like, he's up at the road, because there's a sign right in front of Clava Cairns, right across the way, that says Highland Coos, you know, a quarter mile up the road. And then you just follow the signs, and he's totally just like a super nice guy. People are welcome to come up, but you know, he's totally affable. He likes talking about his cows, his family business, and he threw some feed out, so the because they were all baby cows, they were all like about, I think he said, 4 months old, and so he put some feed on the ground so they would come closer, because they were pretty skittish. Like there was a random helicopter that flew over while we were standing there that scattered them, but then he threw some more food on the ground and they all came closer, but they were so cute.
So we have our itinerary, which is actually still up on our operator's website, which you can find at Spirit Journeys, all one word, spiritjourneysworldwide.com. I don't even think it's co UK. It might be. It's either .com or .co.uk. And if you type in the search bar pod abroad, one word, it'll come up. Obviously, you can't purchase it. It's all done. It's all closed. It's all down. But the itinerary, last time I checked, was still there, if you want to know what we're talking about and everything we saw. But these things that we just mentioned were things that they were like extras. And so some of that, if not all of that. Well, the cows, we're not going to put cows on the itinerary, but we'll probably do the cows again. But yeah, we're going to add the whiskey distillery tour, but probably an optional evening whiskey tasting. I think that's that would be good. Or maybe even a gin tasting, because people were talking about that. And then definitely the mixer the night before everything kicks off. So yeah, so I was so pleasantly surprised. I had high hopes, and between the guide and the driver and the operator and everything, oh my goodness. And the people, our guests were the most amazing people. Summer, there's no one. There is nothing that I wouldn't have done this trip. I mean, I wouldn't change anything except getting sick.
No, I mean, you get a group of Outlander fans together. If nothing else, you have a love of Outlander that you have in common. And I mean, it was such a beautifully well put together group of people. I mean, you couldn't have asked for better. I mean, everyone's still talking to each other. Like, that's the thing. We've all been home for 2 weeks, and our group, because we have a little closed group on Facebook for the people who went on Pod Abroad 2018. And we're all still, the site is still active. Like, everyone's still talking to each other. And I that's honestly one of the things I love about it, is that, you know, everyone made I think lifetime friends.
It was an amazing trip, amazing guests. Next year is in the planning, in the works. We hope to have something to announce by the end of June. But again, it will not go public until we have announced it to our interest list. And to get on the interest list, there's free, there's no obligation. It is simply information. Send us an email to hello@outlanderpod.com.
Every time you say that, I think you're going to go into Adele's Hello song. Send us an email to hello@outlanderpod.com. Well, I think we need to go on to our read along.
It's been a day since I've heard that.
I know. So this week we will be discussing chapter 35, entitled Bon Voyage.
Hey, you did it just fine.
I've heard that word a lot.
Regarding the title, Eileen P. writes, Bon Voyage means good voyage in French, and is also used to express good wishes to someone about to go on a journey. Did anyone wish Jamie and Claire bon voyage when they set sail to rescue young Ian in Voyager? If they did...
No. They kind of snuck away like thieves.
Because they were like, sorry, we lost him. We got to go get him now.
Sorry, we lost your kid. So we're just going to slightly...
We'll write you from France.
Right. We'll be like, that's the safest place because Jenny can't beat our ass when we're in another continent.
If they did wish them bon voyage, it didn't carry much clout. After all, Claire was kidnapped by Captain Leonard, and then she had to deal with the typhoid epidemic on the Porpoise. Not exactly a lovely transatlantic cruise. Let's hope bon voyage works out better in Drums of Autumn. So, we are with Brianna. Brie arrives in Inverness with her cousin Jamie to seek passage on a ship to America to find her family. Diana describes her attraction to a group of people who were putting themselves up for sale, and it made her think, they looked so pitiful and scared and all of that, that it made her think of the dogs at an animal shelter in Boston. Now, I've definitely felt sad, I mean, watching things too, but for animals at shelters that I volunteered in, not that they're being mistreated, nothing like that, but just these poor animals, you know, who knows what they had been through before they were brought in and all of that. And I always want to take all of the kitties home with me. I mean, I love all animals, but I only want to eat the face off of every cat ever. Most cats. So Summer, have you ever adopted an animal from a shelter or a rescue? Whatever.
I mean, I got my current cat from a rescue. He was a feral. Oh. He was fostered at a house. Sweet. He wasn't
yeah,
at
no,
a
that's
shelter.
Good. He's like a special kitty there.
He's a reformed feral. I like to call him a dumpster cat.
I've never heard you say that.
But he's delightful. I had to take him to the vet today. That was traumatizing for literally all of us. No, it was just his yearly. He had to get his shots and his boosters and, you know, they took his temperature in his butt. He didn't like any of it.
Speaking of but today, it's so funny you say,
I'm like, how is that a segue?
No. Speaking of cats and our own cats, I normally, it's on my calendar, but I don't always, it's there to, I, to bring up and I see and I'm like, oh, okay, it's time to do that, whatever. The only thing I make sure I don't miss is my cat's revolution, the flea and tick stuff or flea stuff, whatever. That is on a schedule. But me trimming their nails is like it gets done when it gets done. It's at least monthly, if not biweekly. But it's not regular. You know what I'm saying? It's probably like, anyway, I did it today, but it probably won't be done until 3 weeks or whatever. So, but it's on my calendar.
For me, that's a yearly thing. That's a yearly thing. When I take him to the vet, I make them clip his nails. So I suffer through his daggers for like 6 months. And he ruins all my, yeah, but his nails don't get sharp and super long and like overnight. They take time. So for the last like 6 months, he's ruining all of my clothing.
So I have two cats, so I get double the whammies, and I love them like nothing else. And I'll be like lying on the, not really in bed, usually on my couch and on my side. One cat like snuggles up in like near my head, in my arm, well, near my shoulder and my head, on the pillow I'm on. And the other cat will be on my side or my stomach, depending on how I'm lying. And well, the one on the couch who's just laying next to me, obviously I don't feel that as much, but Buzzy, the one who's on my hip or my stomach, holy monkey balls, that girl is, I mean, today, the last 2 days, I guess the last week or so, I finally got to where I couldn't. I'm like, I can't, you have to move right now. You're going to kill me. So I finally said, okay, let's go. So I went and got the clippers and did their nails, and they don't love it, but they let me do it. And I will say vets are great. Vets are very expensive, you know, or can be expensive. And your best friend, it's very smart if you can befriend a vet tech or a veterinary nurse. The reason I say that is because some of the best tips I've been given about just little things I can do at home, because you want to do as much as you can at home. If you feel safe, like Summer doesn't feel like she can do the things because, I don't know, maybe not that he's dangerous, but, you know, if it's too much of a stressor on you or the cat. So I don't care. I'm going to do it. And if it stressed my cats out like a lot, I wouldn't. But anyway, all this to say, a very nice vet tech showed me how to do it. Like I already had the scissors or the clippers, very specific clippers, and told me to hold the cat, stand against a wall, and then scoot down the wall like I'm, you know, so I'm like kind of squatting against the wall. That way they can't go behind you. You got them. They can't go backwards to their back or their front. And they only have one way out. And that's where your hand is with their paw. And I only do the front paws. But anyway, so we had to do that today. And they're fine. But oh, Lordy. Yeah, I couldn't take the daggers, Summer. I couldn't take the daggers.
Well, I can't take trying to clip them.
I hear you.
I feel like I didn't get him early enough to train him to be calm when that happens. Cause I have a coworker who's like, oh yeah, my cat thinks it's like a day at the spa. I wrap her in a towel and she just lays back and puts her paw out and lets me clip it. And I was like, yeah, that's not my experience.
So among the people that Brianna was seeing, we read there were several families with kids. And Summer, could you imagine being willing to sell yourself and or your children into indenture to leave your country? Things would have to get pretty bad. And they were for many for them to get to that point.
Well, you know, yes. But when I was reading that part of the chapter when Brianna is approached by Lizzie's father, just imagining how your circumstance could be so bad that it's preferential that you never see your kid again. That you know, instead of the other thing. And I'm just like, I can't imagine being in a situation where I'm like, you know, hey, stranger, you look honest. Take my child. It's clearly a better situation for her wherever you may or may not be going than it is for her to stay here. And I guess that's the privilege of circumstance, the privilege of, you know, the life that many Americans are fortunate enough to lead. But yeah, I can't imagine that.
I wasn't the only person to do a little extra research about indentured servitude. Eileen P. writes, the portrayal of families being separated by indentured service is heartbreaking. However, children as indentured servants were far from unusual. According to Marianne Mason's Masters and Servants, the American Colonial Model of Child Custody and Control, quote, a very large proportion of children in the colonial era did not spend their whole childhood under the custody and control of their own parents or step-parents. These children were put under the custody and control of masters and sometimes mistresses to whom they were indentured. Binding out
putting out or apprenticing were all variations on the well-established English custom of placing children in the home of a master who was obliged to provide ordinary sustenance and some training in return for services. This training could be as specific as teaching a skilled craft, or it could be as general as instruction in basic reading in the catechism. Under common law, laws differed pertaining to articles of indenture for servants and for apprentices. In the New World, the distinction between indentures for servants and apprentices was less clear. Binding out or apprenticing became a catch-all concept that both provided a controllable and skilled labor force to the new country and provided parent figures to thousands of children who had no parents. Whatever the terms of the indenture contract, it was ratified and supervised by the local court. Unquote. As for involuntary apprenticeships, Mason states, quote, children who came to America as indentured servants without parents provided critical labor for the settlement of the colonies. More than half of all persons who came to the colonies south of New England were indentured servants, and most servants were under 19 years old. Whether these children who came alone to the colonies came as voluntary or involuntary servants is unknown. Certainly, some of the older children voluntarily signed their own indentures, as did adults, in hopes of a fresh start in an uncrowded country. However, many children were orphans or children of the poor, and their indentures, like those of all impoverished children, were not voluntary. Given the circumstances of immigration, many children arrived with irregular indentures or none at all. The law required the would-be master to bring the children before the court to determine the terms of the indenture. Most common was the term set by Virginia legislature. Quote, such persons as shall be imported having no indenture or covenant, either men or women, if they be above 16 years old, shall serve 4 years, if under 15, to serve till he or she shall be 21 years of age, oh my gosh, and the courts to be judges of their ages, unquote. Other colonies fixed 18 or marriage as the termination date of indentured for girls, unquote. And she provided the link to that, and we will include that link in the show notes. So it wasn't just her cousin Jamie who was with her. It was also Ian Sr., or beloved Ian. He'd gone to procure her passage. She was with Jamie to actually choose her servant to accompany her to America. She didn't think she needed a servant. And Jamie and Ian are like, you do. Diana describes Bree's excitement now that she knew her mother was safe at seeing Claire. And she missed her father, someone she'd never met. Quote, it was only now that she could admit to herself how sorely she had missed her and her father, that unknown Highlander who had come so suddenly and vividly to life for her as she read his letters. Unquote. Young Jamie is trying to find her a strong servant, likely male, because all the examples we get are of males. And someone around them is selling food. But when I first read this discussion, when I first read it for this discussion, I read brides, hot brides.
Nope.
I was like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, that's not what they were doing. It's not brides they're selling. It's varieties, which are little, like, little pastries.
Little meat pies.
Yeah. Martina P. writes, Brianna has a few moments to herself and inspects her surroundings. She buys some food that is so deliciously described by Diana that my mouth got watery and I felt the urge to run out to the supermarket to buy the ingredients to make Brianna's Brighties on page 101 of the Outlander Kitchen Cookbook. Shout out to Teresa. As Bree waves at her, the woman with the Brighties, she comes over and says, Mary save us, a giantess.
I bet it was one of those moments where she sees someone waving to her and she thinks she's really far away because, or she's really close.
She's so tall.
Because of how big she is. And then she's like, no, she's not, I'm not getting any closer. Like I expected, I thought you would be much smaller when I finally got up to you, but you were right there.
This, of course, brings extra attention to Brianna and she's not a fan. But it's funny when one dude who was, whose attention was got by this woman yelling giantess, he said, quote, and as for the rest, fetch me a ladder. I'm not afraid of heights. That was funny. So she has again, as I said, been made aware of her height. And it's something that she had not had to worry about or she didn't feel about her Fraser relatives.
And add to the fact that she's in a dress and is not wearing her underoos.
I get it. I get what she's saying. I feel weird when I'm not wearing under things. I mean, I've done it. Clearly, we've all done it. We've all done it.
Speak for yourself.
You've never not been wearing underwear, ever.
Quote, she was intensely conscious of the unaccustomed feeling of airiness about her nether parts and the odd feeling of her naked thighs sliding past each other as she walked, her silk stockings gartered just above the knee, unquote. Well, yeah. Okay, to answer Summer's question, this is not Summer's question. Yes, I have Summer, of course. I could stand, not, I wouldn't choose it, but I could stand, I think, the windy nether parts, but not the sliding thighs. Can we say chafing, anyone? Yeah, no, I would rather have airy nether bits than chafing thighs.
Well, hers weren't chafing, hers were sliding. Sliding and chafing are two very different experiences.
I know, but it always starts as sliding, Summer.
No, it really doesn't.
It does.
Because to chafe, you need friction, and sliding doesn't always include friction. In fact, sliding is the opposite of friction.
Oh, sliding is like, shoo, yeah. Shoo, shoo. As Brianna finishes her bridie, quote, a slight, fair man in a shabby coat had materialized by her elbow, making small, nervous movements, unquote. This man wants Brianna to take his daughter as a servant. And he's desperate. She takes him aside to find out the real reason he wants to be rid of his daughter. Apparently, there's a man who wants his daughter as a concubine. And his daughter's contract has already been bought by a Mr. Ransom. And this Mr. Ransom can give it to whomever he wants, sell it to whomever he wants. She tells him, Brianna does, that she's going to America and he might never see his daughter again. But the father, he thinks about it. He's a little bit shocked, but he is settled. He says, better there than dishonored. And then we are introduced to Elizabeth. Dear Lizzie. And that's all we know. We don't know her last name yet or her dad's name.
But we do know that she's been cast in season 4.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Quote, oh, dear, Brianna murmured, a puppy. You knew with that Brianna was going to have to take her. Eileen P. writes, the agents, like Mr. Ransom, who bought and then sold indenture contracts were referred to as spirits, as in spirited away, because sometimes people were contracted into indenture under false pretenses. They would be spirited away. We find out Lizzie is 14, and she is to be Breeze. Jamie and Ian think she's useless, Lizzie. In convincing them, Brianna insists that it'll be fine. Look, I traveled from France to Scotland alone, and I was born in America. It'll be just fine. Oopsie, Brianna. Quote, they say it's a wise bairn that kens its father, but I dinna think there's much doubt who yours is, lass. You might have had the lang nebbit and red locks from anyone, but you didna get the stubbornness from any man but Jamie Fraser. Martina P. writes, Brianna couldn't help herself but to comply with a poor and desperate father's request and hire Lizzie as her servant. And I wouldn't say hire, I would say buy. It is very big-hearted of Brianna to help the poor man out and spare poor 14-year-old Lizzie from a life as a concubine in Aberdeen. I love how she is dealing with Ian and Jamie after the deal was made. I adore Ian's recognition of the Fraser's stubbornness in Brianna. In fact, I always go a little bit to pieces when someone acknowledges the similarities of Brianna and her father. Brianna has a slip of the tongue by telling young Jamie and Ian that she was born in America. In the series, it would be a correct statement, but in the book, Claire was supposedly in France, thinking Jamie dead. However, while they looked at each other in surprise, it might not have any consequences. I am sure that there was pillow talk between Jenny and Ian about Claire's absence of 20 years. Eileen P. writes, Brianna certainly stretched the truth by arguing that she had safely traveled by herself from France to Scotland, so she didn't require a servant. Let's think about this. In truth, she traveled through the stones and then from the stones outside Inverness to Lallybroch. Time travel? Yes. International travel? No. Transatlantic travel? No. Much experience traveling in the 18th century or doing anything in the 18th century? No. Fraser's stubbornness showing? Yep. Some Claire thrown in the mix? Absolutely. So it's settled. It's going to be Lizzie and Brie.
I I honestly think that Claire is more stubborn than Jamie.
If I was going to pick which side was more stubborn, I would say it was Claire.
Because of her not keeping her mouth shut?
That and her straight up refusal to actually acclimate to the time zone.
The time zone.
Okay.
Time period.
Let me go a little east and I'll be in 1890.
Sorry, I've been on vacation and there was a different time zone.
I like that. If only it were that easy, huh?
I know. But she straight up refuses to acclimate to the time period, no matter which time period. I think that in and of itself, I mean, Brianna was bound to be the most stubbornest character that Diana ever wrote.
Eileen P. writes, "Yay! Who could resist adopting a puppy?" In their discussions, Brianna says, "She's eaten my food. She's mine." "I can't wait for the adventures of Brianna and Lizzie in America. Do you think she'll get along with Rollo?" We will have to find out. "I looked for more information on indentured servitude in the colonies." And this is Ginger. This is like when I said it was not just Eileen or Martina. I think it was Martina. Forgive me. "One of them did more research." So I was not the only one. "So I looked for more information on indentured servitude in the colonies in the 18th century. And I will list the links to the sources. But the main source was from the book America at 1750, A Social Portrait, written by Richard Hofstadler. Quote, "One of the most important comparisons the student may wish to make while reading this and the following selection is between the quality of life for the white indentured servant and that for the black slave. Both servant and slave endured a debilitating and disorienting Atlantic passage. Both faced not only physical acclimatization in North America, but psychological adjustment to a new condition. Both were locked into an intimate and oppressive contract with a hitherto unknown master. Of course, there were major differences between servitude and slavery. The slave was bound for life and the servant for a limited period of time. The children of slaves inherited their parents' status, whereas children of servants were born free. And the slave, if freed, faced many more obstacles than the indentured servant who had served his or her time. But the large number of servants who ran away or committed suicide suggests that the conditions of life during the period of bondage may not have been so different for the servant and the slave. If we leave out of the account the substantial Puritan migration from 1630 to 1640, not less than half, and perhaps considerably more, of all the white immigrants of the colonies were indentured servants, redemptioners, or convicts. The tobacco economy of Virginia and Maryland was founded upon the labor of gangs of indentured servants who were substantially replaced by slaves only during the course of the 18th century. Quote, "The planters' fortunes here," wrote the governor of Maryland in 1755, "consist in the number of their servants, who are purchased at high rates, much as the estates of an English farmer do in the multitude of cattle." Unquote. Everywhere indentured servants were used, and almost everywhere outside New England, they were vital to the economy. "The labor of the colonies," said Benjamin Franklin in 1759, quote, "is performed chiefly by indentured servants brought from Great Britain, Ireland, and Germany, because the high price it bears cannot be performed in any other way," unquote. Further, indentured servitude had its roots in the widespread poverty and human dislocation of the 17th century England. Indentured servitude was mostly a period of enforced celibacy. Marriage without the consent of the master was illegal, and there were many more men than women. So just a little bit. It was definitely not slavery, not putting it on in any way on terms with slavery, but there were a few similarities. So back to the chapter. As their ship pulls away, Bree is surprised at her reaction. She comforts Lizzie and warms her with her Arisay and decides that what made this leaving hard was, quote, "She had already lost her father, mother, lover, home, and friends. She was alone by necessity and also by choice. But then to find both home and family again so unexpectedly at Lallybroch had caught her unaware. She would have given almost anything to stay just a little longer. But there were promises to keep, losses to be made good. Then she could come back to Scotland and to Roger," unquote. And she's still wearing his gift to her, quote, She shifted her arm, feeling his thin silver band warm on her wrist under her shawl, the metal heated by her own flesh. Un peu, beaucoup. Unquote. She wipes Lizzie's tears away and holds her against her. Quote, they stood for some time silently until the last of the land was gone. Unquote. Martina P. closes us out with, I love the fact that Brianna is surprised about her strong emotions of sadness and disappointment on leaving Scotland and her newly found family. She did not anticipate or even have time to think about how she would feel about her relatives and having to leave them so soon. I always adore the chapters when we have an opportunity to spend time at Lallybroch, but now it's off for the new world, for Brianna to find her mother and her father, the unknown Highlander who so vividly came to life to her as she read his letters.
And that was chapter 35. Come back next week when we will be discussing chapter 36, entitled You Can't Go Home Again.
As always, join us to continue the conversation in our Facebook community. Find us at outlanderpod.com/group.
And there are still slots if you do want to contribute to our read-along, and you can find them at www.outlanderpod.com/DOA.
If you love our show and are entertained by it, please consider supporting us on Patreon. There are also a number of free ways to help support our show. The most important one, though, is to help us spread the word. Tell your friends and family about the Outlander podcast, and they can find everything at outlanderpod.com. And finally, one more thing to close out. As we, on this episode, we're talking so much, or for a little bit, about Pod Abroad 2018. Remember, we hope to get information out by the end of June, but before we go public, and we will go public, hopefully there are a few spots left at that point, we will be first sharing with our information list, or our interest list. And the way to join the interest list, again, this is just to receive information once we have it, is to send us an email at hello@outlanderpod.com. Thank you guys, as always, so much for joining us. It means so much to have to be back, to have you guys back. We know we were gone for a hot second, a little more than a hot second. And thank you again for being part of our Outlander family, our Outlander Pod family. And we're very happy to be back and talking about the books and the story. So thank you so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.